Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Thank you, Sandy, for leading us this morning, and thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Tyler. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome to everyone who's online. Welcome to everyone who is here in person. So glad to see you on this beautiful day. And I am pleased to begin a new summer series. I'm going to be introducing that summer series today. But just to introduce ourselves to this series, I just want to start off with a bit of a confession. Let's see if any of you have the same confession that I do. But I don't really like, this is harder than I thought. I don't really like Christian movies. I just don't really like them. Who here loves Christian movies? Like you're really, yep. No, I don't blame you. I love the message. It's not that I don't love the message of Christian movies. I love the message of Christian movies. Totally do. And it's not that, you know, the acting's all that bad. Although, let's be real. Like, sometimes the acting's not that great. Okay, but that's not the reason I don't like it. The reason why most Christian movies I'm not, you know, a huge fan of is because whenever I'm watching one, the lead person, the protagonist, whoever that person is, I'm just never convinced that person could be real. You know, I'm just never convinced that I'm not watching a movie. I never get past the acting, you know, because that person, whoever it is, you know, it just seems like they're a little too perfect. It just seems like they've just got it all together, and they're just radiating faith wherever they go. I mean, when they enter the room, you know, a light from the rafter shines on them. Ah. And they've just got it all together. Here's a day in the life of a movie Christian. All right, day in the life of the movie Christian. When do you think a movie Christian wakes up in the morning? What do you think? Anyone? 6 a.m.? That's if they sleep in. 6 a.m., okay? It's a weekend, so, you know. Okay, it's a weekday. They get up at 6 a.m., and you know what they do for the first hour? Prayer and Bible study up until 7 a.m. This is the life of a movie Christian. And then, you know, the kids have slept through this perfectly. They're sleeping through this perfectly as they're enjoying the hour-long quiet time. But then when it's breakfast time, you know what they're having? Perfectly cooked sunny-side-up eggs, some multigrain toast, freshly squeezed orange juice. The peel is still on the counter. It's that freshly squeezed. So they're having a beautiful breakfast, and the kids are enjoying it, and the kids are ready for school. They're dressed, backpack ready, lunches are all made. They're way early for the bus. They're going to make it easily. So you know what they have time for? Favorite time of the day for the kids. Morning devotions. They love it. They love it. They're just excited for it. You know, maybe some of you can relate, maybe not. But they're just excited for morning devotions, and they have a great time as a family together. So they get on the bus, and that's going great. And Dad, he goes off to work, and on the way to work, you know, he's always got an extra $5 for whoever might be sitting on the street. When he gets on the subway, he engages in a conversation with an unbeliever, and that person is just really engaged. You know, they're nodding their head, and they're very receptive to hearing about Jesus. Then they get to work, and they're a model employee. They're the next one to be promoted, and they've really, you know, just increased the productivity of the entire company as a whole. And during breaks, they're leading Bible studies for believers and unbelievers alike, for all of the people who are in the company. And at the end of the day, someone tells them, "Thank you for saving my marriage," and another person says, "I'm naming my baby after you." Day in the life of a movie Christian. Day in the life. Now, it just goes on and on like that, right? And they go through a struggle, right? Movie Christians, there's a struggle that they overcome, but there never seems to be a moment where their faith is ever really in question. They're just on fire. They just have this on fire faith. And, well, you might be thinking, Tyler, don't you want that on fire faith? And I'm, yes, yes, I want that on fire faith. Of course I do. Yeah, Christians, believers in Christ, we believe in the best news in the universe. That we stand against God in sin, that we rebel against him, and yet instead of giving us exactly what we deserve, he loved us so much he sent his son to die for our sakes, such that those who believe in him can be saved, can enjoy eternity with God. And that love of God that is showered upon us, that transforms our lives so that we love God more and we love each other more. We believe in the best news in the universe. So of course we have times of on fire faith. But maybe it's just me. Maybe some others feel the same way. But sometimes faith is just a daily grind. It's a daily grind. Because, you know, sometimes it's on fire, but sometimes, you know, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we fail. In fact, often we doubt. Often we struggle. Often we fail. Right? For some of us, it's a victory just getting up before 11 a.m. For some of us, it's a victory just getting the kids on the bus on time, and you don't have to drive them in yourself. For some of us, it's a victory if we get some quiet time somewhere in between shampoo and soap. And then we watch this Christian movie, right? And it's meant to inspire us. It's meant to enliven our faith. And, you know, sometimes it does. But other times, it can just absolutely shame us. We're watching this Christian movie meant to inspire us, and we're thinking, hey, is that what it's supposed to look like? Is it supposed to look like that? Because I'm telling you, if that's what it has to look like, then I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I'm just not doing it at all. Maybe I just don't have faith. If it has to look like that. Because, you know, I wish I was doing all of the things that they're doing, but you know what? I've got a disability, or I've got kids who are not responding to discipline. I've got work deadlines that are already past due. I've got bills coming up. I've got a mortgage to pay, rent's due. And by the time I get home from work, I'm so exhausted. If I can get some Kraft dinner on to the kids' plates, that's going to be good enough. And by the time my head hits the pillow, I'm out. And I pray that changes, right? You're praying that changes. You're praying that, you know, you can do all the things that you know that you ought to as a Christian, but you're just getting through the struggle and the daily grind, and you wake up and it all starts all over again. It's a struggle. It can be. It can be a grind. And so you go day by day going through this struggle of faith, and then it's Sunday morning. And you're coming to church, and you want to be encouraged by the pastor. You want to be encouraged by the word, encouraged by the other believers. You want to be encouraged in your faith and built up. And often that happens. But sometimes, someone like me comes up here, a preacher, and gives a message, and that message is something like, you're not giving enough. Your faith isn't strong enough. You're not obeying enough. You're not giving enough of your time. You're not serving enough. You're not doing enough. And it's like, great, you know, church gets to be another place where I get to feel changed. And part of you might be thinking, you know, as you hear a message like that, and, you know, I'm just as guilty as anyone, thinking, Pastor, who do you think you're preaching to? Do you think you're preaching to an audience of movie Christians who've got it all together? Because I can tell you for a fact, I know that that's not the case. Because this person over here, they're dealing with, you know, mobility issues. This person over here, they're dealing with parents that are going to be dependents very soon, and we don't know what to do about that. We've got someone over here who's got two sets of twins. Good luck getting them signed up for anything. And we've got someone over here who's dealing desperately with depression. And someone over here who's dealing desperately with sexual sin. And someone over here who's thinking, trying to sort between what the culture thinks about sex and what the Bible says about sex. And they're struggling. Pastor, we need help. We need encouragement. Not another list of things to do. We need help. We need help. And then in that moment, we've got two choices, don't we? We can blend in with the spiritual crowd. That's choice number one. Kind of like a zebra, spiritual zebra. Just blend in, put on a face. Don't admit your struggle. Don't admit that you need help. Don't admit that, you know, someone else could help you if you, you know, talk to them about this. You could do that. Or you can actually ask for help and turn to someone like your pastor, or someone who you trust, who's a Christian, and say, you know, I'm struggling with this and I need help. And so those are our two options. And I don't know what the percentage is, but I would say most of the time, at least, we go with option number one. Blend in. Disguise the hurt. Disguise the struggle. And I don't blame you. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to do that. I mean, yeah, you got to put on a face and pretend everything's all good, but at least no one has to know my stuff. The stuff. You know, my marriage isn't all it should be. My family life isn't all it should be. My scripture reading's definitely not all it should be. 50% of the time when I'm reading scripture, I'm half asleep. My prayer life's not all it should be. Man, if my pastor only knew all the stuff wrong with my spiritual life, he'd run me out of the church, you might be thinking. Meanwhile, your pastor, anyone's pastor, has the struggles of his own. So we can blend in with the crowd, or we can say, I need help, I need that encouragement. And the church culture can also often turn into a place where people come and hide their struggles, put on a face. And I don't want that to be the case at Richview. I don't want that to be the case, because we grow through struggle, don't we? When we have a struggle to work on, that's where we grow. And if we're not willing to admit that, we'll never grow. Like, often a church can turn out like this. Imagine this. Imagine a gym, okay? A gym, great facilities at this gym. And inside of this gym are a bunch of people wearing muscular body suits. You know the ones that, you know, actors will use in movies to make themselves look really buff? Okay, everyone's wearing that. Everyone's got a muscular bodysuit on. So everywhere you look, everyone looks like they're all put together. They're all strong. Everyone looks like they've got it all taken care of. They're all physically fit, but they're at this gym. And the problem with that is no one's actually going on the exercise machines. Why? Because the moment they do, they'll be exposed for who they are. Underneath that bodysuit, they're not very strong at all. So no one goes on the exercise machines, but everyone looks like they're physically fit. Can the church be like that? Now, you know what the huge problem with that is? Is that there might be a weak person, someone who needs to go to the gym to work out. They might come to your door one day, and they're as weak, they need to go on the exercise machines, they need to work out. And then they come in, and they see all the people in their body suits. So what do? One of two things. They either turn around and never come back, or they turn around, get their own body suit, and come join us. And everyone's got their bodysuits on. That's just not the purpose of a gym, is it? No. The purpose of the gym is not to look like you're fit, but to have that struggle, to go in, to struggle, to grow, to work out. And that's what the church is meant to be for as well. It's a place where people come and struggle and bring their hurts, bring their doubts, bring their fears, bring their struggles, and they're able to work on them and find help without having to hide. And this is what Jesus said about this. Take a look at this. Gord, can you show me the next slide? Jesus said this, Mark 2:17. Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." See, Jesus was talking to a bunch of people who were wearing a spiritual bodysuit. Maybe they had the robes and the tassels. They looked very spiritual. They were called the Pharisees. And he talked to them and he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's not the people who look like they've got it all put together that need the doctor. No, it's the people who are sick. It's the sinners. It's the people who struggle. They're the ones who need me, and they're the ones who I've come for. I'm not coming for people who are hiding behind a mask of spiritual superiority. I'm looking for people who know they have a struggle, who know they're a sinner. And the church is meant to be an extension of Jesus' ministry, right? We're here to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that's what we need to be. We need to be people who help strugglers and sinners and doubters and help them through this without them having to put on a mask. I don't want Richview Church to be a place where people come in with their spiritual bodysuits. But you know where you can always look to find people who are struggling and struggling severely with faith, who are going through that grind? You know where you can always look? Even if you do go to a church where, you know, there's spiritual bodysuits on, and I'm not saying anything about this one particularly, but any church. You know where you can always look? Scripture. The Bible. You know, we assume that the Bible is filled with perfect people who do the perfect thing for the perfect reason every time. That's what we think that the Bible is filled with. Just perfect, holy people. But you should read it. It's not like that at all. No, the people in Scripture are people who are going through tremendous, tremendous trials and struggles. In fact, I mean, they might have lived thousands of years ago in some cases, but they're going through the same struggles that you and I go through today. Sure, they're ancient people. Sure, they're a different culture, but they're going through the same kind of struggles you and I are. The heroes of the faith that you may or may not have heard of. Those heroes of the faith, they all had a battle that God helped them through. The Bible is nothing like a movie. It's nothing like a Christian movie. The movie version of Moses, right? The movie version of Moses would have him, you know, doing the miraculous works where the Red Sea would split and he would lead God's people through it. Or have him on the top of Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, the law from the finger of God. It would show all the faithful bits of Moses. But you know what? Real Moses, because of his fear of people, would have let anyone else do the job God had called him to. Anyone. Movie Abraham is the one who would do anything that God asked him. Anything. Even up to giving up his own son. I mean, he had incredible faith. Real Abraham, when he wanted safe passage through a foreign land, he gave up his wife to strange men for fear of death. Movie King David is the one who's got the smooth stone in the sling and he kills Goliath. You might know the story. Real King David had such a problem with power and lust and corruption that it completely poisoned the monarchy. And then there's movie King Solomon, who could have asked for anything from God, but instead he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom from God so that he could lead the people well. What great faith. What a great attitude. But real King Solomon used that wisdom in order to accumulate for himself a whole lot of concubines and would eventually fall off into idolatry. Movie Job went through a terrible family tragedy, and at the end of it, he said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's the end of the story. Real Job struggled day in and day out, fighting tooth and nail to stay in faith, wrestling with the God, the good God of the universe who controlled all things, and yet allowed that to happen. Movie Jonah is the one who repented of what he had done in the past and went to the Ninevites and preached, and they came to faith. Real Jonah wanted the Ninevites to, how can I put it nicely? Rot in. That was real Jonah. Now, do any of those struggles sound familiar to you? They should, because they're the same struggles that you and I have. They're the same ones that we have today. We struggle with the same things that they struggled. Sure, they lived a long time ago, but we struggle with those same things today. And that's one of the reasons why the Bible rings so true. It rings so authentic. Because these people aren't holy caricatures. They're real people going through the real struggles of real faith. They're real life people. And so it rings with so much authenticity because we can see our struggle being played out in their struggle. And that's also very encouraging. It's encouraging. Because when we see the struggles of other believers and when we see the struggles of believers in the past, we realize that we're not alone. And that's not to diminish the problem that you're going through. I'm sure you're going through significant struggle in one way or another. That's not to diminish that. But it is the case that others are struggling alongside with you. You're not alone. Look at what the passage says here. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Whatever it is that you are going through, there's someone struggling alongside with you. And when we are a church, perhaps, for a church culture where everyone's wearing the bodysuit, here's another big problem with that. Everyone thinks they're the only ones wearing the bodysuit. They look around, they see all these people fit, they're all working out, that's all great for them. I'm the only fraud here. And that kind of wrestling in solitude just eats away at your bones. It's like a decay because you start doubting, okay, maybe I don't have faith, maybe I don't really believe. If I'm struggling like this and I don't see anyone else struggling like this, then maybe it's me. It must be me. Maybe I don't believe. Maybe God's not there. That's a tremendous struggle because we're suffering in solitude. But when we look at the struggles of the believers in the past, and when we look at the struggles of others who are willing to share, we can be encouraged knowing that, well, they made it out on the other side. Maybe I can too. That's the story of Scripture. Struggling people who God helped, where God intervened, and they made it to the other side. Maybe, maybe, in my struggle, I can too. You know what's incredible about whatever doubt or fear or anxiety that you might have? You know what? There's something incredible about it. It doesn't at all stop God from showering his love and grace and mercy on you. Doesn't stop him in the least. In fact, if this next verse is to be believed, it is in fact through your weakness and through your struggle in which God works. I want to introduce you to a man named Paul. Paul was someone who in the first century, he saw the risen Christ. He saw him, he was taught by him, and he went out throughout the world sharing the gospel about Jesus, that he died for our sins, and that we can have new life in him. So he went around preaching this gospel, and churches were being built, and people were being saved, and everything was going great. But Paul realized that there was something going wrong. He had this pain, this infirmity. We're not exactly sure what it is, but he had some infirmity, whatever it might be, in his side. He called it a thorn in his side. And it was preventing him from doing all of the ministry that he wishes he was doing. So he prays to God and he says, God, can you get rid of this thorn so I can go out and do more ministry, so I can help more people? This thing's holding me back. I'm struggling with this thing. I want to get rid of it. God, would you remove this from me? And here's how God responds. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul discovered why God didn't take the thorn away. And there's two reasons for it. One is, it gave him a reason to boast. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Do you know what Christian boasting is? I'll tell you what it's not. Sometimes I'll call someone who, you know, might be less connected to the church or something like that, and I'll just give them a call. And I get the sense sometimes that when I give that call, that person thinks they want to hear, they want me, or they think I want to hear from them, sorry, confusing my words. They think I want to hear from them all of the great spiritual things going on in their life. And they rattle them off. And they're all great. You know, oh, this is what I'm doing, Pastor. I'm serving here. I'm giving here. I'm praying here. I'm in this Bible book right now. It's awesome. And it's great. And I'm encouraged by that. It's wonderful. But that actually isn't Christian boasting. Christian boasting is not, you know, this is how much I love God. Christian boasting is something very different. How would have Paul boasted? Would have Paul, when he was going to boast, would he say something like, well, look at me. I've built a church in Philippi and Ephesus and in Corinth, and all these people are coming to faith, and the world is being changed by the gospel, and, you know, I'm a pretty big part of it. That's not how Paul would have boasted. No, Paul would have said, can you believe God is using me? Can you believe, despite all my sin, despite all my weakness, despite the fact that at the beginning, several years earlier, I was the one that was killing the church and dispersing the church and going after Christians. Can you believe that God is using me and my as messed up as I was with the problems I still have, with the struggles I still have? Can you believe he's using me? He would say something like, praise be to God. Praise be to God that his love for me is not dependent on my obedience towards him, but it's dependent on Christ's obedience towards him. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life. Jesus went to the cross for our sake so that those who believe in him would receive that righteousness and would be forgiven of sin. And that's what the love of God on us is based on. Not our great works, not our great love towards him, but his incredible, enduring love towards us. So we can actually boast in our weaknesses. Because it's not our obedience towards him that earns us favor in God's sight. It's Christ. So believe on him. Trust in him, even in your weakness. Why else might he not remove that thorn? Oh, I went too far. He says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In some way, God's power is shown to be greater through our weakness, through our struggle, through our pain. And that's the story of Scripture. The story of Scripture is not a story of a bunch of people who were perfect and again they were perfect and they did the wonderful right thing. No. It's a story of a person who again and again did the wrong thing, who messed up, and God intervened and God showed tremendous grace. That is the story of Scripture. God shows himself to be powerful, to be worthy, to be glorious, to be merciful, to be loving through our weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness. And in this series, we are going to see the specific ways in which that is true. I've been talking generally this whole time. This summer series, we're going to talk about specific struggles that you're going through, that the people in Scripture are going through. And as we see how God shows his tremendous grace to those people who are struggling with that very thing in Scripture, we're going to see how God is working in our lives today. So I invite you to come every single Sunday for our new series called Real Life Faith, where we will be looking at the stories of Scripture, the characters of Scripture, and we will be looking at their struggles, and we'll be seeing how our stories intersect with theirs, our fears intersect with theirs, and we're going to be encouraged because the Scripture lights up for us a well-trodden path of faith, and this faith goes through things like, goes through things like death, like pain, like disease, like doubt, like fear, all of these struggles. And we can either choose to go down that path blindly, or we can allow Scripture to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So I hope that you will join us this summer to look at the real life stories of people with real life faith and see how God's grace is shown to be powerful, to be strong through it. So why don't you join us?
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.